The label boss was named Steve-O, and he was a legend. Before Rough Trade, before 4 AD, he was releasing 7-inch singles out of his bedsit in Islington. And slowly, surely, he'd grown this into an empire. The NME and The Face ran features on him. When I met him, I had no idea who he was. Some skinny, ginger-haired Englishman kept reaching over to steal my cigarettes. "What's the matter?" I said. "Can't you afford your own?" He smiled and showed me his gold-capped incisors. He was sleek, pale in a sharkskin suit. We were at an engagement party at a bar in the American Midwest. "No," he said, still smiling. "I steal things."
"You do, huh?"
"I do. It's the punk rock aesthetic."
I recognized him now. I recognized myself, too. Situationism. Punk rock. I was raised on these things and on 1,045s. I owned almost every record Steve-O had ever released. I said, "I have a band for you." He said, "Everybody has a band for me." I knew this was true. He was famous now. His contracts were brutal. It didn't matter. Artists would accept his ridiculous royalty rates if it meant they could be on the cover of the NME. But my band were different. Nick Devine didn't care about fame, and Lords of Oblivion weren't in it for money besides. They were raw and American, punk as all get out. Steve-O's bands were gauzy and gothic. I said, "Maybe they do, but these guys are different."
"Different how?"
"They have soul."
"Soul?" Oh, he laughed. Who cared about that in the mid-1980s? Who cared about anything besides style and wit? Around us were the glamour kings and pancake goddesses, the goth queens of the bars that ran along High Street. He said, "I mean, is it 1965? Are we in Muscle Shoals, Alabama?"
"No, we were in Columbus, Ohio, and neither of us belonged here. He'd come to see one of his artists get married, and I'd come looking for what I still hoped to find, the authentic American, the real and true."
"I'll come see them," he said, "if you say I should."
"You should?"
He showed me those teeth again.
What had I just done?
Lords of Oblivion were barely a band at all. They were just my idea of one. I'd barely even seen them through a complete rehearsal. The drummer and the singer were ready to tear each other limb from limb. There wasn't a band. I'd booked them a gig next Friday.
"I will then," he said. "I'll be there." Those lupine fangs. Whether he believed in soul or not, he was ready to buy mine, and I was ready to sell. Unless I was the one buying. This whole reckless mythology of the Midwest, regional violence, rock and roll. I was all in. And so was he. Every rock and roll story needs the devil in it somewhere.